Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's time now for our monthly chat with the good folk at Stats NZ, where we find out a bit about what statistics can tell us about life here in Aotearoa. And also what they can't tell us. Collecting data in this country has been getting more and more challenging. People are more hostile on their doorsteps. They don't want to give their data to the government. And this shows in our all-important census response rates, which have dropped from almost 100% to around 88%. So how does this affect the quality of data gathered, and can the tide be turned? Joining us to discuss this is the Chief Executive of Stats NZ, Mark Sowden. Kia ora, Mark. And thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Kia ora, Emil. My pleasure to be here.
So, this model of data collection, you know, going front door to front door, having a good smile on your face, having your patter prepared, that has stood us in good stead for decades, really, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Look, we have been using, as you say, that very traditional model of sending around about 350 people every day out into the field to go and knock on New Zealanders' doors. And look, as you said in your intro, that's been getting us response rates traditionally for in the mid to high 90s. But it was started at a different time, and you know, social patterns are very different now. People used to be home at 6 o'clock. We could always guarantee people were home having dinner at 6 o'clock and probably watching the news. There was higher trust of strangers coming to people's doors and higher trust of government. And we're just not getting those response rates anymore. So we're now sitting in the sort of 50 to 70% response rates, and something like 15% of every calls of every sample that we have, we just get no response at all. Mm. So it's getting a lot harder to get those results.
Is that what, I mean, you cited there, you know, maybe sort of increased mistrust of other people and perhaps, you know, more mistrust of the government as well. Are those two of the big factors that you put this down to?
They're certainly part of it. So part of it is just New Zealanders live different lives. They're not home as much, working multiple jobs. They're doing things in the evening, so they're just not home. But part of it certainly is a lack of, or a lesser trust in strangers coming to your door. Certainly lesser trust in terms of inviting them into your house and sharing sometimes quite intimate details of your life about your income and so forth. Yeah. But certainly part of it is trust in government as well. There are groups in society that have a mistrusting relationship with government because they've had bad experiences before. We saw that come up a little bit after COVID with some of the divisions we saw in society during COVID. So, but it is also an international trend as well. So certainly a number of countries, Australia, Canada, the UK, are all suffering the same thing, as are similar businesses to us. So things like meter readers, charity collectors that go door to door, it's all kind of a similar pattern.
For a long time it was pretty much exclusively door to door data collection, really, wasn't it? But you do a bit of a split now, right? Of going door to door, but also getting in front of people or getting to people through other ways of doing it, and also a bit of online data collection too.
Yeah, so all of those things. So we are still a very manual survey heavy organisation. So the vast bulk, particularly of our social surveys, we would find out about people's lives. Are still the door-to-door. But we have online, as many of your listeners would have experienced through census, where they were able to fill the census forms in online. We want to move to more of that because we want to make it easy where we are doing surveys. But basically, the fundamental point from the fundamental shift we want to make is moving towards more what we call administrative data or admin data. Mm. which is government data that government that New Zealanders already give government when they do another service. So the data that you give the government when you pay your taxes, or the data that you give the government when you might apply for a benefit or a driver's license or to register the birth of your child. And so we already hold that data somewhere in government. So the question becomes, why do we then ask New Zealanders to give up their time to give us that data that we already have about them? So we're moving more and more towards that admin data.
That's so interesting to me because I obviously, as you say, that data is already held by the government. But I imagine it. Actually, I'm curious as to your thoughts on this. I would imagine that there would be a strata of people who would think, no, absolutely not. I do not want Stats NZ going and claiming my data from the various agencies that already have it. Though, of course, they already have it in the first place. It maybe when it comes to protection of your own personal information, or protection, inverted quotes, around it. It is a challenge in terms of letting people know what you are collecting and why you are collecting it, right? Because people do want privacy.
Sure. So, well, look, it's really interesting. And when you talk to New Zealanders on the doorstep, as a lot of my people do, you get both schools of thought. So you get people saying, "Look, I just paid my taxes. You already have this information. Why are you asking me?" You also get the reaction that you talked about, which is, "Oh, a degree of suspicion about what are you going to do with my data, and how do I know it's protected?" Look, the legislation that we operate under. So we operate under some pretty tight legislation about what we can and can't do. And that does allow us to receive data from other agencies. It does not allow us to share data with other people, with other agencies. And it requires that data to be strictly what we call anonymized, so that you can't identify an individual from that data. So for me, it's a bit about, and what you'll hear us doing quite a bit over the next little while as we come out and talk to New Zealand about future census. It's about understanding what some of those concerns, where those concerns exist, really understanding what they are and what are the safeguards that we can put in place, or the things we can put around it to give New Zealanders comfort that we are doing the right thing. We will always be transparent with what data we have that's available on our website about what data we use for different to produce different statistics. And we will always make sure that New Zealanders' privacy and security is protected. But we need to give New Zealanders confidence to do that. We need to earn that trust.
I mean, one of the ways that you and you do this without, wishing to sound like telling you how to suck eggs is, explaining how that data is actually used. Because having population level data, particularly, when it's something like a census, where hopefully you're getting millions and millions and millions of responses, that data is used for really, really important stuff, right? Like, take us through what census data is actually used for. It's a broad gamut of stuff by multiple agencies for multiple reasons, yeah?
Absolutely. So, at the headline level, so the things like the population counts, they go into really fundamental things like the electoral boundaries. So, sizes of electorate and electorate boundaries. They go into funding formulas for health and education. Then the demographic breakdowns are also used for some of those funding formulas. And then, there is a whole beyond those headlines of just population counts. There's whole rafts of information around people's voluntary habits, people's so how much voluntary work they do, people's smoking habits. So you can monitor trends over and that over time. See a sense of housing quality, so that we can get a sense of are New Zealanders living in increasing quality housing or decreasing quality housing. That goes to the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development and the policies that they set. And then there's various researchers that use it for all sorts of research projects, all sorts of interesting things. It's also used increasingly to look at the effectiveness of government programs, because it feeds into our broader sense of what's happening to New Zealanders and New Zealanders' lives, and more government agencies are using it to look at the effectiveness of their programs.
Mark, I've just got a question in from Andrew. It's a good question, actually. Hey, Emil, this is Andrew. Hey, Andrew. Please ask the statistics dude, that's you, Mike, congratulations on your new official title. Very well remunerated, I understand. How do you know,
If
how do you know people answer the census questions accurately or truthfully?
So At one level, we take it a lot on trust. So we do take it a lot on trust, and again, I guess there would be a question about is that the same as usual, but or it's the same as it has been in the past. But fundamentally, we take the data. So once we closed off the census in June last year, we've spent the last basically 9 or 10 months what we call cleaning that data. So looking at duplicates, looking at answers that just don't make sense, looking at answers where so we do compare the census data that we get through the forms with the data we hold. I went through. We go through. We hold tax and benefit data and so forth. We compare that data and we look at them and we go, okay, there's a mismatch here between two different data points for the same thing. Which one do we believe? And we have a we go through and we score. There's 70 odd questions in the census. We score those on data quality. We have other data points that we score on data quality, and we match the data and then we take the highest quality data source. So what you'll see when the census data comes out is very much a combination of what people put on their forms, but also the other data added in that we already hold about New Zealanders. So we do a bit of compare and contrast.
There's a whole law of large numbers thing as well, right? Like if you have a really, really large data set, even if there are outliers, by and large, things are going to work out. Is that a reason? I dropped maths in fifth form, Mark. So if I'm mischaracterizing the law of large numbers.
No, look, you are absolutely right. That is why we have, for the census, we collect data from every New Zealander. For other surveys that we have as large a samples as possible for exactly that reason as well.
Now, I mean, one really unfortunate consequence of perhaps some of the societal distrust that you were talking about before is reactions towards your people when they do go around collecting data from people. It's an unfortunate thing, but we should talk about it because it does happen. I mean, you've seen a real increase in people behaving in a really hostile way towards people who are trying to collect data for you folks.
Look, unfortunately, we have, and that's really sad at one level because the last thing I want to do is put any of my people in danger or have them have a bad experience. But look, last year we had 402 reports from our field staff of what we call abuse, threats, and intimidating behaviour. And that's about 25% of all of the health and safety incidents that they logged in that year. And if you go back in 2022, it was 86 incidents. In 2021, it was 31 incidents. So in 3 years, you've seen
Wow.
that increase of tenfold.
That is an enormous increase over time. That must be really concerning because I suppose you're responsible for their safety as well, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. So we are now investing far more in health and safety, far more in preventative training. So to help people identify when a situation might be going to get to that point and exit themselves from that situation beforehand. We also help them with de-escalation training and so forth. And if the worst does happen, we wrap a lot around them in terms of post-event, helping them debrief, helping them recover from the trauma. And we do take a zero tolerance approach to it too. So if there's something that breaks the legal threshold, we will call in the police around it. But I think, look, it does go back to, again, trying to minimize the number of times that we're sending people to New Zealanders' doors and sending people to strangers' doors, which goes back to thinking differently about the more use of admin data and other ways to collect that data.
Leslie has just texted in with an observation, I think. Leslie's saying the purpose of a census is to have some data on which to base forward planning. Therefore, Leslie continues, questions must be neutral and basically statistical. Some recent censuses have been, in Leslie's words, loaded and speculative. For example, have you ever had a pregnancy which didn't lead to a live child? This is intrusive and it's nobody's business. And can you do you understand that the sentiment of that point from Leslie?
We do, absolutely. And but we but we that particular question does lead to some important information that our customers who we give the data to actually asked us to ask. That is useful information to them. But more generally, what we do for all of our questions, both census and in our other surveys, we do test them quite extensively with panels of New Zealanders to say, how would you react to this question? And what sort of answers, does it give us the answers that we want, first and foremost? The sort of answers that that we want, but also is it, you know, are they worded in ways that will offend New Zealanders? Are they worded in ways which are clear about what we want? Those kind of things. So we do extensive testing, and for some questions, particularly some of the questions we ask around gender and disability, they're actually international. They're set by international standards so that they're internationally tested, not just within New Zealand.
It's a fascinating area. You know, just in conclusion, you speak a bit about, you know, the idea of more data being taken from other sources, emergency rooms, ACC, IRT, and so on and so forth. It will be, I mean, educating the public about what you're doing and why you're doing it will clearly be an important part of that. How do you plan to do that?
So we have an ongoing campaign, really. And look, a lot of the field collectors that we send to our door, to people's doors, are the front line of that campaign. But there's also things on our website and so forth. But what your listeners will see coming up very shortly is we're about to put out a public consultation document around the future of censuses, and particularly how we're going to conduct the census in 2028, which is the next census. So that consultation is opening in May, and that will open up a lot of these issues, because we are going to look to use more of this administrative data and less of the survey data. So you will start to see a lot of public debate around that, and I look forward to that. I look forward to hearing what your listeners think about that, and being able to have a conversation about exactly the things that we've talked about, the pros and cons, the safeguards we can put around it. So that's coming up for pretty much the rest of this year.
And I'm thrilled that you proactively answered my final question, which is, what is the plural of census? It is indeed censuses, and I'm taking that to the bank. Statistics dude and Chief Executive of Stats NZ, Mark Souden, thanks so much for your time this evening. It's been great chatting to you.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
That is Mark Souden, Statistics dude and Chief Executive of Stats NZ.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.